You are listening to Real World News.
Friends of the Earth's assessment of the UN Committee on World Food Security Negotiations. Real World Radio presents the assessment by Friends of the Earth Food Sovereignty Program Coordinator Kirtana Chandrasekharan on the latest decisions of the United Nations Committee on World Food Security, or CFS, on agrofuels. Chandrasekharan also speaks about the CFS resolutions regarding investments in smallholder agriculture and the civil society's role in the committee. Real World Radio also interviewed environmental activist of Friends of the Earth Finland, Otto Brunn, who focused on the role of social movements and organizations in the so-called civil society mechanism. The CFS decisions on investment in smallholder agriculture and agrofuels, which go in different directions in terms of tackling world hunger, were negotiated and adopted by the governments at the CFS 40th session held in Rome, Italy, from October the 7th to the 11th. Both Chandrasekharan and Brunn, as well as co-coordinator of Friends of the Earth International's Food Sovereignty Program, Martin Drago, attended the CFS talks in Rome. The Committee on World Food Security is a multilateral agency reformed in 2009 to include the participation of different stakeholders in the debate on food security and nutrition. In 2011, the CFS commissioned reports on two different issues to a high panel of experts on food security and nutrition. As regards to the investment in smallholder agriculture, the CFS followed the panel's recommendations while it dismissed its assessment on agrofuels.
On the issue of biofuels and food security, we had a report from the high-level panel of experts that reports to the Committee on World Food Security on different issues every year. And that report analyzed all the data and information on the impact of biofuels and food security, and it made some really clear and important findings. For example, it found that the biofuel imports and also the targets and mandates for biofuels are having an impact on price volatility. Because when the demand for biofuel goes up, the impact on prices of food crops also tend to grow up. So in general, it found quite a strong correlation between price volatility and also just the availability of food, so food security and biofuels. And it really recommended governments could do something about this. So the report of the high-level panel was quite clear and strong. But very unfortunately, the governments who were present at the World Committee on Food Security did not take into account these findings, and they made a very, very weak set of recommendations on how governments should address biofuels. So I think that was a disappointment. I think as far as civil society and social movements are concerned, we started off the CFS meeting with a very weak document that governments wanted to bring there. And so we were fighting to get some basic recognition of the link between biofuels and food security, even at that level. And that we managed to get. So at least we have a document now that recognizes that biofuels have an impact on food security and hunger, but does not actually mandate governments to take any action, which is where we lost, which is a big problem. Why did this happen? I think for several reasons. One is that the way the negotiations were set up at the CFS meant that many of them were running in parallel, and we had a few very pro-biofuel strong governments like Argentina and Brazil and the USA and Canada who were pushing very hard to not have anything on biofuels. We also had a very strong presence of the biofuels industry, probably for the first time in the CFS, who were obviously lobbying very hard on their governments to make changes. From the side of civil society, I think it means that we should reflect more on how we tackle this issue, on how much public and political pressure we were able to put on the process on biofuels and food security in the run-up to the CFS and during the CFS. So that is some assessment that I think we need to make as civil society about this issue. I think there were governments definitely who were very concerned about the language in the biofuels agreement. Some of the African governments were very concerned. Some of the Middle East governments, also Iran, were trying to play a positive role, but seemed to find it impossible to stand up to the big kind of tactics and strong arms of the other governments, which was also very disappointing for us. I think there were some governments who didn't agree with what was written into the text, but found it difficult to openly say this in the negotiating space. I think the report is still very strong, and it still gives us a good evidence base on which we can then kind of lobby our own governments and get them to take notice. I mean, we feel that the Committee on World Food Security is one space where we want to talk to governments about these issues. But there are also other spaces, and I think the fact that the high-level panel of expert report recognized all these linkages and really looked at all the evidence also on the availability of land, on the availability of food crops on the global markets, all these different issues, that we have that now in one place that we can use to target the governments. I think the results of the panel on investments in smallholder agriculture was significantly better. In this space, I think it's a very, very, very important issue. I think at the moment, for many reasons, one is that for Friends of the Earth International and for the social movements, it's quite the issue, which is an ideological and also practical battle about which type of farming should governments be putting their policy support and their money and investments behind. Should it be smallholder-based, peasant, agroecological, diverse farming methods, or should it be more towards large-scale plantation, industrial agriculture that we know, for example, is grabbing land all across the world? And this was a space, if you like, in which the start of that discussion happened. And for civil society, it was very important to have a strong document that recognized that smallholder farmers are very important investors themselves, that they are not victims, that smallholder farming is productive. It's one of the most productive forms of agriculture, and you know, they are very important investors themselves, and that needs to be recognized. And we need to set up the systems that governments use to support agriculture, things like local markets and infrastructure, things like extension systems for farmers, access to seeds. All these things need to be set up in particular ways to make sure, to enable smallholder farmers to be as productive as possible. And that is really the way to feed the world, and that's the way to deal with hunger and poverty, because there's a lot of evidence, including from the high-level panel of experts report, which also did a report looking at smallholder farming, that it is the best way, one of the best ways to combat hunger and poverty in any country is to focus on improving the lives of the smallholder farmers there. So that was what we wanted to get, and I think the document is quite good. It recognizes the importance of smallholder farmers. It recognizes that investments need to be geared towards them. It recognizes that markets have to work in a particular way to be useful for smallholder farmers. And I think it's a good basis from which we can start working on this issue. The process building up to the actual Committee on World Food Security meeting is a very interesting and unique process, I think, that we are involved in for many reasons. One is that I think it's probably the only kind of convened and funded and really, you know, well-organized space in which the various global actors from civil society and social movements and women's groups and indigenous peoples groups can all come together to really discuss some of the most pressing issues on food sovereignty and food security, as the governments want to call it, that we're facing today. So we have the pre-meeting of the civil society mechanism, which is organized both thematically. So you have membership of a number of people from different sectors, so indigenous peoples, fisher folk, social movements, NGOs have one seat, and it's arranged like that. But then you also have regional groupings, so that there's participation from all the different continents and regional groupings that we have. And so you can bring all these different perspectives into that space and really discuss what are the things that we want governments to do on these various issues. And it, broadly speaking, it works quite well. It's a lot to discuss in 2 days. But I think it's come out with good things. I think what's more difficult is to ensure that it works during the rest of the year also, that there are adequate resources, you know, methods that people can actually communicate with each other to do that. But it's quite a strong space where people can thrash out things beforehand. And then we can go into this meeting with some agreed positions from civil society and then work there as well. And then we have, for example, quite an organized mechanism. So there are meetings every morning before the governmental meetings start. You know, we have a really good website which updates every day during the World Committee on World Food Security with all the latest positions from civil society and things like that, which is really useful. Maybe the last thing to really say is also that one of the best things I think about this space for the civil society and the way that it engages is that it's really led by social movements. I think that also makes it quite unique, and because the mechanism is designed to be led by people actually affected by the policies the governments are making. And it comes out very strongly, we can see, and it really lends a kind of credibility, robustness, and political weight to what civil society is saying.
For me, I hadn't been very engaged with the Committee on Food Security before, and I think for a lot of people there, this is something that is a forum that has been of some strategic importance. But also, new people are coming in, and some people are not continuing. So that forum was very important for people to get ready and prepared for what the CFS is, what we want to be doing there, why is it an important political space, and also in terms of content discussions on firstly biofuels and smallholder investments, but also in terms of this very conflictual process on agricultural investments and also the upcoming work of the Committee on World Food Security. All of those issues were kind of raised there, and the different civil society groups that are present in this space kind of joined in, and actually it was the participation was quite broad. So that was very nice, and of course it seems as though movements like La Via Campesina and others who have gained a very strong position vis-a-vis FAO. So these movements and the civil society mechanism was they were given a very strong position through the CFS chair from Nigeria and the executive director of FAO were all there to kind of give this space a special meaning. So that was also something that the importance of the civil society mechanism was also reflected during that weekend. I think in sense of just motivation for working in this space where some things are quite technical and all that, always it, when it goes into negotiations and you have certain proposals being discussed in the CFS week, I think like having the representatives of the social movements and the specific groups, the fishermen, the pastoralists, the fisherfolk, the indigenous groups, is, I think very strong. So it kind of returns the issues to their real owners. And I think this space has also forced a lot of, NGOs, in Europe to kind of understand that, they are not legitimate, representatives of, people far away and actual social movements, but they can work with them and kind of try to facilitate the space for them. And I think there's a lot of work to do, to continue that work and also to kind of, keep, reminding us that this is not about the NGOs and their, circus, but rather, real action by, and that, people have to speak in their own name. And at this kind of idea of representation, I mean, is an empowering one that can lead us also forward. So I think we haven't achieved it yet. It's a process, and I think that's very motivating to kind of keep working in that direction and keep insisting in whatever processes we have that in the civil society mechanism, these social movements are the ones that are talking on behalf of people whom they have organized, and this is a principle that can be kind of broadened to more spaces and several other spaces as well. I guess I've been working with, for instance, the issue of biofuels for a lot of years in other capacities. Here there was a possibility for the work on biofuels to move a step forward, to actually give the movements and progressive governments something, a tool to really put in use and kind of raise the problems that biofuels are causing for different indigenous and peasant groups around the world, leading to practices such as land grabbing and water grabbing and a lot of climate issues as well. And within that process, of course, we engaged some government representatives, also myself as a Finnish person, but also others. But it seemed like governments such as Australia and the US and Canada were blocking a lot of the important proposals to actually take on these issues or these problems. Also, the European Union, in terms of stopping these biofuel mandates that have caused a lot of problems, also those weren't taken on, and it is a serious problem. But also, I was surprised and maybe amazed that even the requirement that these policies have be screened by looking at their human rights implications and their right implications for the right to food, that even these proposals were watered down by governments in this process, and of course that was just something where you could see that as soon as the Committee on World Food Security entered into an arena where there are some very powerful economic interests, then the issues became much more difficult. And so to a certain extent, I think from the smallholder investment sphere of work, there was some useful language actually coming out that I also use with Finnish farmers when we do work for agroecological practices and all that. So I think in those terms the process was useful. But when it entered into these arenas where developed countries have economic interests, in my own country, Neste Oil is one of the one of the biggest producers of palm oil fuels. And so our government did not want to enter into a meaningful discussion on actually looking at serious regulation that would have implications for these corporations. So I think that's something that needs to be worked on in other ways as well. When there is conflictual things, it's the Committee on World Food Security is still not a space where governments will have to back off. I think what in the civil society mechanism, especially what I found was useful and helpful as well, was also how it facilitated a space to meet, for instance, peasant groups working in Western Africa and Mozambique on very specific campaigns and actions, and so, and also Uganda, and kind of link the criticism of proposals that they are facing at the moment on seeds and on land grabbing, and kind of have a discussion on that. And I think there are so many companies and so many multilateral institutions like the African Development Bank or others who are the G8 countries who are aggressively engaging in certain problematic proposals. And I think the CSM on issues related to food and land, the civil society mechanism, kind of for me provided a space where that discussion could be ongoing and we could raise those debates that I hadn't a space to actually in person with people go through these issues. So that was also very helpful, this kind of engagements and meetings and to that extent very useful for the work I'm doing back home in Finland, as okay. Our government is also considering funding something of a similar kind. So to kind of raise those critical voices by the West African peasants, for instance.
You are listening to Real World News.